The sixth degree, conceit, the opposite of the seventh degree of humility, belief and acknowledgement of one's inferiority to others. He believes what he hears, praises his own actions, and pays no attention to the motive. He welcomes a favorable opinion and forgets its purpose. And he, who in everything else puts more trust in himself than in other men, attaches more weight to the opinions of others about him than to his own. So not only does he think that he exhibits superior religion on account of his verbal profession or special displays of piety, but in his inmost heart he considers himself more holy than anyone else. And if he knows that he is praised for anything, he ascribes it not to the ignorance or the kindliness of the person who commends him, but, with much conceit, to his own deserts. So after eccentricity, conceit has made good its claim to be the sixth degree. After it, audacity shows itself, and in it the seventh degree consists. Audacity, the opposite of the sixth degree of humility, acknowledgement of oneself as unworthy and useless. For if a man thinks himself superior to others, it is likely that he will not push himself in front of them. He is the first to take his seat at meetings, the first to intervene in debate. He comes forward without invitation and with no introduction but his own. He reopens questions that have been settled and goes again over work that has been done. He considers that nothing that he has not himself designed and carried out has been properly organized or satisfactorily executed. He criticizes those who sit in judgment and tells them what their decisions should be. If when the time comes for the appointment of a prior, he is not promoted to the office, he is certain that his abbot is either jealous or mistaken. But if some less important duty is assigned him, he is displeased and contemptuous, for, as he feels himself qualified for greater work, he thinks that he ought not to be employed in smaller matters. But it is inconceivable that a man who, with more rashness than readiness, is very anxious to undertake all sorts of work, should not sometimes make mistakes. And it is the duty of the abbot to reprove such as one for his error. But how will he confess his fault, if he neither thinks himself, nor will allow others to think him, worthy of censure? Therefore, when his fault is pointed out to him, it is not removed, but grows worse. So if, when he is reproved, you see him incline his heart to wicked words, you may know that he has sunk to the eighth degree, which is called defense of wrongdoing. The eighth degree, defense of wrongdoing, the opposite of the fifth degree of humility, a humble and straightforward disclosure of sins and evil thoughts. There are many ways in which defense is made for sin. A man either says, I did it not, or I no doubt did it, but I acted rightly in so doing, or I may have acted wrongly, but not to a serious extent, or if I was seriously wrong, I had no bad intention. If, however, he like Adam and Eve is proved to be guilty, he attempts to excuse himself on the ground that he was tempted by someone else. But if a man unblushingly defends even open sins, will he ever humbly disclose to the abbot the hidden evil thoughts which come into his mind?